जयागाधमाधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जाना बाला गिरिबाग धवी गोपी जाना बाला गिरिबाग धवी यशोद नंदन बज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन बज जन रंजन जमुना चेगा बनचावी जमुना तेगा बनचागी जायागाध माधव कुंजा बिहारी थैंक यू हरे कृष्णा Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Nimai Nitai, Nimai Nitai, Nimai Nitai, Jaya Nimai Nitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribo, Hari Hari Bolo, Gaura Hari Bo. Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Sarasata Shishi Madhis Devan Gai Saisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shlubhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavani Ki Namachar Shlai Dasta Ko Ki Kanta Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Shlubhupada's most transcendental book distribution Ki Shri Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Yoga Ki Gopamanande All Go Assemble Devotees All Go Assemble Devotees All Go Assemble Devotees all goes to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So this is Canto 9 Chapter 1, entitled King Sudumna Becomes a Woman, text 18 to 33. So we're going to read 33, the Sanskrit, then we'll speak a little bit. We're going to read from 18 to 33, and then we'll get into more philosophical topic. Tata urvam vanam tat vai purusha vajayanti hi Sa cha anuchara samyukta vichachara vanat vanam tata udvam vanam tadvai pushava jayantihi sa cha anuchara samyukta vichachara vanat vanam Tata udvam vanam tatvai Pusha vajayantihi Sa chanuchara samyukta Vichachara vanadvanam Tata udvam vanam tatvai Pusha vajayantihi Sa chanuchara samyukta Vichachara vanadvanam. Matajis. Taudvam ram tadvai. Pusha vajayanti. Sacha umucha samyukta. From that time onward, Vanam forest. Tat, that. Vai, in particular. Pusha, males. Vajayanti, do not enter. He, indeed. Sa, sudumna in the form of a woman. Cha, also. Anuchara samyukta, accompanied by his companions. Vichachara, walked. Vanadvanam, went in the forest from one place to another. So we'll go back to 18. We'll introduce the verses, read the verses, and then we'll get into more philosophical aspect. Om Jnana Timandasya, Yananjala Shalakaya, Chakshu Mitam Jena, Tasmei Shri Guru Vinamaha, Shri Chaitanya, Manobishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Datati Swapadantikam, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadada, Shivasari Go, Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Vansha, Kalpatarubhyacha, Kripa Sinyubhyayvacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachatiteshtarine. In 1985, I was in San Diego, and Sadaputa Prabhu, those who don't know Sadaputa Prabhu, is one of the ISKCON scientists to help us understand better the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. He was giving lectures, and these lectures actually came out in the Origin magazine. I don't know if they publish it anymore, but there was one magazine in the end of 80s, 90s that we used to sell by the box. It explained the scientific aspect of our movement. So one point that he made is that some of the stories of the Bhagavatam are like not believable. I mean, from a material conception or from a different strata or different sphere, to try to understand the stories of the Bhagavatam, they, like kids would say, it's far out. It's amazing, especially the story of Sudumna. Like he was giving the example of the number of cows that the kings used to give to the Brahmins, millions of cows. Like when Riga was released by Krishna, he said, you might know me, I'm very charitable. I used to give as much dust, a particle on the earth. This is how many cows I gave away. As many raindrops in a rainfall, in many drops in a rainfall, this is how many cows I gave away. Okay, you could say that it's to explain that he gave a lot. But even when he had this problem with the Brahmins, he gave 100,000 to one, he gave 100,000 to the other. So where do you put all these cows? Like Chitaketu, imagine, he had 1 million wives. All the wives were barren. He had to wait for 2,700 years to figure out that his wife were barren, one after one. Prabhupada explained that there was a sheikh. He had 18 wives. So the wives had to wait every night. But he said, Krishna didn't, the wives didn't have to wait. He had 16,000 wives. But Chitaketu, they had to wait. So imagine 1 million wives, not one can have a child. That's like a city of wives. Imagine if you're sitting in the temple, there's 3,000, 4,000 people. That's like one-fifth of the total wives that he had. And imagine each wife had maidservants. It's like a city. So it's like, how can you believe that someone had 1 million wives? So the story of Sudumna is also incredibly amazing. From the material perspective, then these are the verses we're going to read. But the so you know the Imam Vivashvate Yogam Pokta Mahama Mavyayam. So we're speaking about that Vivashwan got spoken the Gita. The Gita was spoken to Manu. Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. This is the same Manu, Vivashvate Manu, same Manu. And Manu later will have a son. He'll have Ikshvaku, but at that time he has no son. So he wants a son. So he told Vashishta, and Vashishta said, no problem, I'll get you a son. But what happened is the wife, who wanted a girl, spoke to the priest, and when they did the different mantras, he asked for a girl, and he had a girl. So the whole verses start with the idea that, I don't understand, you're such great priest, how can there be a mistake in your yagya? So Vashishta explained that there's no problem in the yagya. What happened is the intent of the priest was different. But no problem, I'll make your girl into a boy. So he makes the girl into a boy, and the boy grows up to be a very beautiful and handsome prince. Imagine, 200 pounds of muscles, very, very powerful. So they're going into a forest, they're walking, and in 1 second they all become women. So imagine the shame of a kshatriya. He's a man, very powerful, and look at each other. They're probably in the same clothes as they were, armor or whatever clothes, and they became women with hips and breasts and long hair. So they're looking at each other and they're thinking, wow, what happened? And they're so bewildered. So they're just walking from one forest to forest. They can't go home. They can't say, hey, darling, how are you doing? They can't do that. I'm a woman. So while he was walking in the forest, Sudumna, Ila, who is a woman now, meets Buddha. Now the story of Buddha is pretty amazing also. It's Soma, who thought one day that Brihaspati's wife was extremely attractive. He kidnapped Brihaspati's wife, Tara, and he has a baby called Buddha. So they met together. It's not loud enough.
Ah.
Some entertainers like to eat the mic. So they meet together, they attracted together. So Sudumna, who was a woman, became a man, become a woman again, has a baby. And the baby is Purava, which will take on the dynasty. So the king wasn't happy, thinking that, you know, my daughter that was in, became a man is now a woman, I need a king. So Vasishtha said, no problem. I'll arrange that, I'll pray to Lord Shiva. Now when he prays to Lord Shiva says, you know, I gave a boon to Parvati that whoever goes into that forest, then they become women. Because one day, sages came to see Lord Shiva, and Parvati was naked sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva, and she became very shameful. So he said that anyone who comes here, they will be women. So Shiva said, okay, I can't do the whole thing, but I can do 1 month as a man, 1 month as a woman. Okay, the citizens were not too happy. You know, 1 month you see your king as a man, then you see him as a woman. So in some Puranas, they say that already when she was with Buddha, Ila, she was changing every month as a man. It's not in the Bhagavatam, some Puranas say. So when he was a man, Buddha would instruct him as Sudumna. And when she was a woman, then they would have relationship. Anyway, that's more far out. So when he became a man, he had children also. So he had the children as a man, he had children as a woman. This is the dream of the transvestite, or the transsexual. Because if you look in the Bhagavatam, the 18th chapter, 33rd verse, Prabhupada speaks about that. That's his whole purport, that how can you have a doubt that we're not this body? Sudumna was a woman, he became a man, he became a woman, become a man again. It's the same person. How can we have a doubt of this? So it is the dream for some, and then he explains that in modern science, people have this technique that they can change the sex of the living entity to from a man to a woman to a male. But this is like is in a big way. Imagine the dream for these people. So let's read the verses, and then we'll go into more philosophical. So this is verse 18. So this is when, it started yesterday in the verse, but this is when Manu is telling the priest, I don't understand how this could happen. You are all self-control, well-balanced in mind, and aware of the absolute truth. And because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contamination. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible your determination has failed? If you remember in the story of King Nabi, Nabi is the father of Rishabhadev, he told the priest that, I want a son like Krishna. So the priest, they were a little shy to ask for something material from Krishna, but they said, okay. So when Krishna appeared, he said, listen, I can't give you someone like me, because no one's like me. I'll give myself. And the priest felt very bad. And Krishna said, do not worry. Whatever is spoken by the Brahman must always be true. Like when Jai and Vijay cursed, when the Kumaras cursed Jai and Vijay, they felt bad when they saw the relationship, the loving relationship between Narayan and Jaya Vijay. So they wanted to take away the curse. And Krishna said, no, because you've spoken, it has to be true. So that's what he's saying. Because you do all these austerities, because you're so advanced, everything you decide should happen. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that we have learned from very many Vedic literatures that a benediction or a curse given by the demigods never prove false. By performing austerities and penances, by controlling the senses and mind, and by achieving full knowledge of the absolute truth, one is fully cleansed of material contamination. Then one's words, blessing, like those of the demigods, are never a failure. Now the demigods are not pure devotees. They have material desires. But because they're always connected to Krishna, and they try to make spiritual advancement, whatever they speak ultimately will become truth. So that's the doubt of Manu. The most powerful great-grandfather, Vasishtha, can you hear me? Is it loud enough? Yeah? After hearing these words of Manu, understood the discrepancy on the part of the priest. Thus he spoke as follows to the son of the sun god. This discrepancy in the objective is due to your priest's deviation from the original purpose. However, by my own prowess, I shall give you a good son. Very powerful, huh? Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, after the most famous and powerful Vasishtha makes this decision, he offered prayers to the Supreme Personality, person Vishnu. He transformed Ila into a male. Do you believe it? I don't even think about it, I just believe it. I don't know if you do like that. I'm not thinking, is it true or not? I'm thinking it's from the Bhagavatam, so it must be true. But if you really think about it, it's pretty far out. But it's, if you look at it, all these movies that you see, it's a manifestation of all these things. These things happen because they're true. Prabhupada explains that the deer is smelling the smell of musk, because in the belly button of the deer, there is musk. But he doesn't know where the musk is coming from. So similarly, we have all the mystic powers in our body. We smell it. Sometimes you feel powerful. You can do certain things. Maybe I should fly. Actually, I was on a 6-foot ladder 1 week ago, and I thought I could fly. I fell from the ladder. It didn't work out. But I still, only my foot hurt a little bit. But sometimes you feel you have these powers. So we have all these powers. We smell them. So all these movies you see where the hero, the heroine, and he's flying and is doing all these things exist. The yogis can do so many things. They smell it. So these are actually true stories. O King Parikshit, that hero Sudumna, accompanied by a few ministers and associates, and riding on a horse brought from Sindhu Pradesh, once went into the forest to hunt. He wore armor and was decorated with bows and arrows. So imagine these, they became women with armors, arrows, bows. And he was very beautiful. While following the animals and killing them, he reached the northern part of the forest. There in the north, at the bottom of Mount Meru, is a forest known as Sukumar, where Lord Shiva always enjoys with Uma. Sudumna entered that forest. O King Parikshit, as soon as Sudumna, who was expert in subduing enemies, entered the forest, he saw himself transform into a female, and his horse transform into a mare. When his followers also saw their identities transform and their sex reverse, they were all very morose and just looked at one another. It's pretty shameful for a kshatriya. Look at yourself. My gosh, what's happening? Okay. Maharaj Parikshit said, O most powerful Brahmin, why was this place so empowered and who made it so powerful? Kindly answer this question, for I'm very eager to hear about this. Shukadeva Goswami answered, great saintly person who strictly observed the spiritual rules and regulation and who owns effulgence, dissipated all the darkness of all directions, one came to see Lord Shiva in that forest. When the goddess Ambika saw the great saintly persons, she was very much ashamed because at that time she was naked. She immediately got up from the lap of her husband and tried to cover her breasts. Seeing Lord Shiva and Parvati engaged in sexual affairs, all the great saintly persons immediately desisted from going further and departed from the ashram of Narayan. Thereupon, just to please his wife, Lord Shiva said, any male entering this place shall immediately become a female. And this is 33 that we read the Sanskrit. Translation, since that time no male had entered the forest. But now King Sudumna, having been transformed into a female, began to walk with his associate from one forest to another. They don't know what to do. So the purport is about the changing of the bodies. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that as a person, this is from 222, as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. The body is just like a dress. And here is this is proved. Sudumna and his associate were all male, which means that their souls were covered by a male dress. But now they became female, which means that their dress was changed. The soul, however, remains the same. It is said that by modern medical treatment, a male can be transformed into a female and a female into a male. Like I said, the dream of the transvestite or the transsexual. The body, however, has no connection with the soul. The body can be changed either in this life or the next. Therefore, one who has knowledge of the soul and how the soul transmigrates from one body to another does not pay attention to the body, which is nothing but a covering dress. Pandita Samadarshina. Such a person sees the soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is a Samadarshi, a learned person. So, if you actually study the Bhagavatam, this is a philosophical aspect, you'll see that it's all about people falling down. Especially if you read the ninth canto, and I'm just bringing up the ninth canto here, you'll see. The first thing we can think is, for example, Sorabhi Muni. Sorabhi Muni is a great sage. And what is he doing? He's meditating in the water, and he's seeing two fish. Now, you know, you go to the pet shop, you see, I want a male fish. The guy looks okay. It's very difficult. But he's meditating, he sees two fish copulating, and he gets agitated. Somewhere or another, his perception became that they were actually reproducing. And just by that, he got agitated. He fell down. So then he went to see, he thought that, you know, I should get a woman too. So he went to see the king of the king, and he said, you have very beautiful daughters, can I have one? And he said, well, you know, they can decide, because he wasn't very attractive. So he understood that. He said, okay, let me do a makeover, you know. So he's a yogi, so he got really nice hair. He said, I have gray hair, my skin is very... So he changed himself in a very beautiful man. So when he went there, all 50 women wanted to marry him. They're all fighting. No, we want him, he's for me. He said, I'll marry all of you. So he married all the 50. But then he got really displeased. He saw it's not giving him pleasure. So then he went and he went to the forest and he started renouncing. So although he fell down, because he was a devotee, because he was practicing the path, he was actually liberated. Then you see, for example, Purava. So Purava was Saint son of Sudumna, or Illa, sorry. So Purava fell down. He was attracted to Urvasi. And all his life, all he was doing is running. Actually, Prabhupada said that he was a materialist. Purava was a materialist. And when Urvasi left, he got the benediction to meet her once a year and have a relationship. He was just meditating all year. And then when we went in Treta Yuga, he was the one who received all the yagyas within his heart, and he did the Kama Kanda yagyas, because he was using the yagya for materialistic principle, because he wanted Urvasi back. And then you have Ajamil. But at the end, Purava actually renounced, and he made advancement. Then Ajamil, same thing. He's a Brahmin, he sees a man and a woman. He kicks his wife out. He brings her as a maid, kicks her out. I mean, this is like a soap. This is like, you know, tragedies. It's worse than we see. It's like what we see in the material world. Like, for example, I was reading in the first canto, and that's pretty amazing. Vashishta. Do you know that Vashishta tried to commit suicide? Did you ever read this in the Bhagavatam? It's in the first canto, 9th chapter, 6 to 7, when they describe the sages. So when you think about suicide, you're thinking, oh, okay, they commit suicide. No, Vashishta, one of the 9 great sages, tried to commit suicide. I mean, padam vi padam na te sham. Every step in the material is a danger. There's fall down all the time, fall down. Suicide. But Krishna didn't want. So he threw himself from a mountain, and all the stones became cotton. And then he threw himself in the ocean, and the waves threw him back. And then he threw himself in the river, and the waves threw him back. Krishna didn't want him to die. But he was so tortured by Vishvamitra Muni, who was a Kshatriya, then became a Brahmin, and they had always, you know, fighting. But they forgave each other at the end. He wanted to commit suicide. That's Vishishta. So you have Ajamil. Then you have Yayati. Yayati, he was so attracted, this is a big story, but he was cursed by Sukracharya to become an old man. And he said, no, I want to enjoy physically. He said, okay, if you ask someone to take your old age, then you can get youth again. So he took his son, Puru, gave it to him. He became a young man so he could enjoy women again. So if you read constantly, Kaikeyi fell down. She actually cursed, she decided that Amachandra should be thrown out of the kingdom. It's like on and on and on. You see, like Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was running after his woman. I mean, after his daughter. And then what happened to Soma? Soma stole the wife of Brihaspati, and then they had Buddha. I mean, if you read this, the Bhagavatam, it's all speaking about problems in the material world, how it's so dangerous, how at every step Maya attacks us and danger. Like Indra. Indra went with the wife of Gautam. They made a whole arrangement. I think it's Varuna who played the chicken, the cock, to make Gautam believe that the early morning had come, so he would leave. And then he dressed himself as Gautam. I mean, he transformed himself as Gautam. But because, what was his name? Ahilya. And because she knew, she could see, that's not my husband. But because she also had some desires, then they went together. I mean, it's all about falling down. Read the Bhagavatam. That's why we have to be very soft with each other. Because we see this verse when you say, Paramdrishvani Vartate, that we have to have a higher taste. You can control yourself, you can restrict yourself, but unless you have a higher taste, it's not going to go away. The taste remains. So as long as we're following the process, we can control ourselves, but there will always be some kind of fall down at any time. It's not possible. There's always going to be some slip. I remember I was in Chicago in 86, and then I asked Ganapati Swami. There was a lot of brahmacharis who were there for 18, 20 years. They all get married. And I said, how is it after so many years they're getting married? So he said, they slipped. They slip. We slip. So, because it takes the mind to slip 1 second, and when the mind slips, you start analyzing the object of the senses, you look at it, you look at the thing is attractive, and then you fall down, you go back into the pool. So unless there's paramdrishvani vartate, then there's going to be some slippage. Therefore, we have to be very kind to each other. For us, we should be strict, but for others, we have to be so kind. That's why Prabhupada said that we shouldn't be surprised people who fall, we should be surprised people who don't fall. Because it's such a dangerous world. Read all these stories. This is what it's all about. It's about people having trouble because it's very dangerous. Maya, and that's why Prabhupada told us we should be scared of Maya. But because we're so used to Maya, we think, ah, it's okay. Especially for Westerners. He said, you Westerners have no fear of Maya. Because we are so much in contact with Maya, we're thinking, oh, it's okay. Now, when Indians go to America, they don't know what Maya is. Then they experience Maya, big deal, big time. Wow, I didn't know. One street for sex, one street for alcohol, one street for gambling, one street for everything. You can just go. Like if you go to Dallas, in every corner, there's a liquor shop. Every corner. On St. Catherine in Montreal, where I did Sankirtan, the whole street, which is about 2 miles, is just sex. It's just people, ladies, bars, that's all it is. So, obviously, Maya is very powerful. So, Prabhupada explained when Ajamil fell down, that at that time it was not common, but now it's very common, so it's very difficult to remain a brahmachari because there's so many. So, the point I want to make is that the Bhagavatam is full of people having trouble, but because they're determined to be advanced, they're determined to stay connected with Krishna, whatever happens, ultimately, they take shelter of Krishna, or they take shelter of the process, then be relieved. So we are in the same train. There's always going to be some trouble. But if we determine and if we help each other, if we understand that these things happen, then we can help and advance. So we shouldn't be harsh on each other. This is my point. Because if you read the Bhagavatam, and these are very elevated people. These are demigods. These are people, sages. Like Vishvamitra, he heard Menaka's ankle bell. Vishwamitra is huge. He's a great sage. Although Prabhupada said, Achyutananda Prabhu said that Prabhupada told him that 3 days on Sankirtan is worth the 1,000 years of austerities of Vishvamitra Muni. 3 days on Sankirtan. That is the power of the process that Prabhupada gave us. So that's the point I wanted to make. Now, in the purport that we read at the end, Prabhupada is just explaining that how can there be a doubt that we're not this body? Because you can see the changes. But obviously, if you give this as an example to the materialists, they won't believe it. They say it's just a story. But we understand that these things happen. So how can we not be equal-minded, samadashi? Equal-minded that we see everyone equally, that they be different race or different creed or different gender. We see them equally. Obviously, we deal with them differently. The Vinasham teaches us to deal differently with different bodies. You don't say, hi, tiger, samadashi, give me a hug. No, it doesn't work, but the tiger is going to eat me. So it doesn't work like that. Oh, the lady's saying, oh, you're my brother, oh, how are you doing? No, that doesn't happen. But still, we see each other equally. We have the vision. It's an internal vision. So that's what the purple tells us. So is any question or comments? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class with all these explanations. And there is one point now by the end that this is Brahmacharya Ashram, no? High elevated, it's an ashram. And this is Grihastha and Vanaprastha and Sannyas, no? So sometimes I feel that I understood your point, I can understand, but sometimes we feel that those who marry have fallen. So if a person who cannot control his senses gets married because he cannot control his senses or her senses, then this is a problem, no? But I would like to understand exactly what this means, no? That to say in general that those who move from Brahmachari to Grihastha is because they have fall down. What does this mean?
Well, it's a fall down in the sense that you're listening to your mind and you want to enjoy your senses. But the thing is, not a fall. It's like when, not Madhusevita, what's his name? Anyway, the sannyasi came in front of Prabhupada after falling from sannyas, and he never saw Prabhupada after falling down. So Prabhupada, instead of saying, why did you fall down? He said, hey, where's your wife? Where's your child? How are you doing? I'm so happy that you're continuing in Krishna consciousness. And he read him he was translating the story of Gajendra, and he explained to him that whatever position is good for you, you should put it in, and you should follow that path to make advancement. So Prabhupada did not see where we at. He wants to see where we feel comfortable so we can fight Maya. And in that purport of Gajendra, Prabhupada is very clear that unless the senses are enthused, you cannot fight Maya. If you're not happy, you can't fight Maya, because you don't have any fighting spirit. But if you feel happy in your life, you have your wife, you have your children, or you're happy doing book distribution, you're listening to classes, you're very happy with this, then you can fight. But if you're in a situation where you feel really depictable, how are you going to fight Maya? That's why he says, unless the senses are enthused, are you going to fight? So we have to find our proper position. Yes, in one sense it's a fall down, because you're not able. But where was the Brahmachari 2 lifetimes ago? He probably was in the same position I was. It's not like it's a miracle. Unless you're Kripa Siddha, we have to walk the path. Like I'm digging a hole. And in that hole, I put back the sand. So when I dig again, it's so easy to dig. You know, I already dug. But when I come to the point I never dug, it's very difficult. So some people, they come very advanced because past life they were digging already. But when they come to the point where they have to dig, they're not digging anymore. But you are digging. You may be a Grihastha, he's a Brahmachari, but he stopped digging. So actually you're making more spiritual advancement. So you can't based on others, you have to base on yourself, where you were yesterday and where you are today. So in one sense, yes, we all fallen. The Brahmachari is fallen too, he's in the material world. When you come to Krishna with this body, it means, hey Krishna, I cheated you. I gave that example last time I came home one day, I had a black eye. My mother said, oh, I know what you did, you were fighting. Yeah, obviously, I have a black eye. So when you come in front of Krishna with his body, he knows, hey, you cheated me. It's obvious. So we all fallen, obviously. You cannot. That's why Prabhupada said, the devotee said, I fell in Maya. He said, no, you always in Maya, sometimes you fall in Krishna. That's the point, because we always, more or less, in Maya. I don't know where your mind goes. We have to have, the mind has to be steady, like the flame in a windless place. When we chant, sometimes we can experience that the mind becomes steady. And everything becomes clear, everything becomes conscious. We have to be like that all the time. When you're not like that, you're in Maya. The mind is going shh. And the materialists, they think that at the highest level of agitation of the mind, that is pleasure. You know, when they take drugs and we do activities, they're thinking, nah, I'm enjoying. But actually, it's not enjoyment. It's just the mind is very agitated. And when it stops, there's like a void. And they have to agitate again. But the devotee is very clear-minded. And he's not disturbed by anything. And he takes pleasure from within. So ultimately, we all fallen. We all fallen. But yes, in a perspective, I fell. But you should see it in the perspective that I'm taking the position by which I can fight Maya. That's how we should see it. But I also see from a perspective of sannyasi. When I got married, one sannyasi came to me and says, Nishinananda, what happened? You used to be such a nice devotee. Well, that was in the old days, falling. It was very, feeling very bad when you took white clothes. You know, you're like hiding, you know. Now, I heard, Maya was a little bit like that too, but it's a little old standard. Prabhupada did all the yagyas for the married people. He wasn't supposed, he was a sannyasi. He gave them what he needed to make advancement. Make sense? Any questions? Other questions? These verses are really important. They're stories, so there's not much to say. But if you really study, I took that idea from Madhi Lakshmi Moni. She was giving a class once. And I thought her point was right, and that was her point, that the Bhagavatam is full of people falling down. I mean, if you read it, what's happening? But we are so, one ex-Gurukuli told me that in Lachwa, if a drunkard comes to the temple drunk, they'll give him some halava. But if a ex-Gurukuli comes drunk to the temple, they'll kick him. Why? Because we don't have the, we have to have this softness between us. Sometimes we're very, very heavy between us. We have to develop love and kindness and support. And this is called devotee care. And when we have this devotee care, we can actually open ourselves. We actually, sometimes we have a lot of desires, but we don't want to show people, you know, because we're afraid. Once Gopal Krishna Maharaj said in one Istagosti that what we should do is every Ekadasi, in front of all the devotees, you should go to the deities and say, this is my fault, and this is what I'm going to work on this month. And all the devotees said, no. Because it's too much openness. No one wants people to know what I have in my heart, because if you know what I have in my heart, you may attack me. That's the mature world. But we should be free enough that we see each other. Like there was one brahmachari who had problems. Actually, he committed suicide later. So I told his guru that he was having some troubles, and the brahmachari was upset at me. And the guru said, well, when you're sick, you have to go to the doctor. So we have to have this openness and this kindness. Obviously, you can't do that to everyone. You have your counselors. But we have to be kind to each other to help. We are for kamis. We preach in the street and we're kind and we're trying to bring them. But when they become devotees, it's kind of like... So that's the point that I was trying to make throughout all these stories, if you study the Bhagavatam. Okay, no comments, no questions? More? Yes, Prabhu? He's a good example. He works from home. What's your name?
Sachidulal Das.
So he works from home in Mayapur. He's very lucky. It's very rare for professionals to be able to work from home and stay in Mayapur. The problem for professionals is there's no money. But he chants all his rounds. He comes to the program. He comes to class. So Prabhupada did not like changes too much. Like when Bhujan Prabhu... he was making some things and selling them, and from his money he would give to Prabhupada. He was in Australia. At one point he wanted to go to Tokyo. And Prabhupada told him in the airplane or at the airport, why did you want to change? He believes in steadiness. You're in one place and you make advancement. This movement all the time is not good. That's the mind. But you're steady. I'm a grihastha. I take care of my family. I make spiritual advancement. And then when it's time, I can give up. So he's a steady example. Every day you see him in class, he works in the day, he chants his round, you see him chanting. Yes? Sorry.
Thank you. It's all mercy of the devotees who are regularly taking out time from their busy lives and sharing their realizations. Thank to all the devotees.
I can't hear you.
Thank all the devotees who are merciful their realizations. So it's credit to them and others, my spiritual master.
You have a question?
Prabhuji, I was feeling that the examples you told about Ajamil and Shobari Muni, they were elevated persons, but they fell down while what one might not consider very big disturbing acts or events in today's scenario. So I was thinking that those who are more spiritually elevated, they should be less prone to fall down. But these examples are contradictory to that point.
No, it's not contradictory. Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada rejects yoga and all these others, these practices, because only through devotional service you'll get a higher taste. And in this Bharam Tishtva Nibhatete text, it's explained well that no other process than devotional service. It just shows that when you advance, if you completely advance and you have the taste, you won't fall down. But the fall down will happen less for people who advance and people who are non-advanced. But it will happen to everyone. No, Prabhupada explains that there'd be. I don't know if I'm answering your question. Is it?
Yes, please.
No?
Yes.
You don't have to say yes if I don't. But it's like, if I don't have a higher taste, and at one time, oop, my eyes open. It's like what happened to Vishwamitra. He heard the ankle bells. Oop, that was finished. Just by hearing the ankle bell. Bhakti Vikash. So he says that you have a temple room of full brahmacharis and one lady comes in, whoop, the whole mood changed. Why? Because the energy is different. So he was meditating, held the ankle bells, and he was keeping it in. It's not that he was realized and free from material desires, but he was following the process. And when he heard it, he had a slack, he had a slip, he opened his eyes, he probably was half open, he saw her, he had the ankle bell, said, well, that looks very nice. So the slipping is there, so it will happen unless we have higher taste. But it will happen less and less. That's why we get married. You get married because you have your wife, instead of slipping with everyone else outside. So, and gradually you come to a point, you have a high taste. And these are the tastes that help us, like when you have a really nice kirtan, you have tastes. Or you hear a nice class or association, or your guru speaks to you for 2 minutes. Like during the days of Sankirtan, in the 80s and all this, we used to make thousands of dollars. And what did you give in exchange? The sock of your guru. Wow! You know, that was, you get a maha sock, or a maha, some prasad, and you collect it for months, you know? So these tastes are what keeps us in Krishna consciousness. We remember these tastes. And that's what makes us advance. And at one point, the taste becomes constant. And at that time, there's no question of being attracted because you're not attracted. You spit on it. Like the child, we don't play with cars anymore. And the son says, wow, you really advanced, Dad? You don't like cars anymore? No, I don't like cars anymore. You're very advanced. I'm not advanced. I just don't like cars anymore. So the pure devotee, he doesn't like sex. You don't like sex. Well, he's amazing in material world. I just don't like it because he got another taste. But in between that state, we have to be very, 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 very careful because there'll be slippage. And that's why we have to be careful to follow all the principles strictly. You know, Brahmacharya's principle, Gyanastha principles, and chant and chant. Because only through the chanting will we get that real taste. Is that okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you want to say something else? Okay. I hope I didn't deviate from your question. No, he's finished.
Hare Krishna, about these stories that you told about these advanced personalities who fell down, were they in bhakti or were they in other kind of processes?
Other kind. Well, not all of them, but
like jnana or
they were doing yoga.
Or mystic.
Well, they say the yogi keeps the super soul within his heart all the time. So they had the super soul in their heart. But they weren't doing bhakti, no. Were they doing bhakti? Vishwamitra wasn't doing bhakti, no? Janivas Prabhu, Pakajanki Prabhu? They were devotees of Vishnu. But they were doing bhakti? The time and circumstance, yes.
I can comment that these examples are given because they're examples. You know, these people fell down. What to speak of us?
Yes.
You know, we're the worst, super high, you know, super elevated people. So that's why they chose those people to make us a little serious. If it happened to them, what about me? I've really got to be endeavoring.
Careful. Thank you, Boo. Anything else? Yes. Mother Gada Kund.
Prabhuji, thank you so much for the class. It was very inspiring. I was just reading Prabhupada's letters so many letters he repeats the same thing again, that so-and-so is not following the morning program, so he cannot become the president. Without the morning program, 16 rounds, there's no question of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. He wrote it so many times in so many different letters. There's no question of spiritual life. So without this process Prabhupada's giving us, he's giving us protection so that there's no slip. If we simply follow, and then there's that one time, I forget his name, he went to Srila Prabhupada, he said the GBCs are not coming to Mangalarti. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay. He called all the GBCs and he said, I want every one of you, Mangalarti, whole morning program and the evening arti. He said, finish your GBC meetings by 5 o'clock, take bath and go to the evening arti. Next day, all the GBCs were at Mangalarti. This process is so powerful. We can't fathom it.
Actually, in the purport of Gajendra, Prabhupada said that one who doesn't come to Mangalarti cannot go back to Godhead. It's in the purport. It's in the purport. Now, Mangalarti doesn't mean you have to go to the temple. You can get up early, do it in your house. But it means you have to get up early to go back to Godhead. Like meat eaters can't understand Krishna. Huh? I can't hear you.
Which purport?
I'll find it. It's in the Gajendra purports. And I'll send it to you. Good? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.